will be our text.
James chapter 3, and we'll read verses 13 through 18 here. And verse 18 contains the largest part of the subject. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And I want to talk about peacemakers today. James chapter 3 and verse 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. For if we have bitter envying and strife, for if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The question I'd like to ask for us to consider today is, are we peacemakers? And then, if not, where are we weak? Jesus said himself, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. That wasn't works for salvation, but living the life and having the testimony that God would have us to possess as his dear children. We're to be called, the scripture tells us in Isaiah, we're to be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And so we'll think about today about this, the fruit of righteousness being sown in peace of them that make peace, and thinking about peacemakers. And what are we? Are we peacemakers? Some characteristics are given us in this text about peacemakers, of those that make peace. And so we'll think about that a little bit today. And there's five different characteristics that are given us in this text concerning those that are peacemakers. And let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to gather here and to honor your precious name. We thank you, Lord, for your great name and how you are sovereign and in control over all things in this world. We thank you, Lord, particularly how you take care and meet needs of your people. And we pray that you would bless us and help us, Lord, to be a testimony to others. Help us to be consecrated to your plan, your purpose in our lives. And I ask your blessings now as we look at this passage, that we might grow in an understanding of what it is to be a peacemaker. And you give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonathan Edwards said, resolved always to do what I can towards making, maintaining, establishing, and preserving peace. And as God's people, there is a certain kind of a peace that we should have. We sang about blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And there is a certain kind of a peace that God would have us to possess and not be those who are divisive in ways and in manners that are not pleasing to the Lord. I want to think about that a little bit today. And when we look at this passage, we find through these verses from verse 13 through 18 several characteristics of people that make peace, as the scripture says in verse number 18, them that make peace. And so first of all, when we look at that, we think about that, verse number 13 indicates here that those that make peace are meek in wisdom. And then in verse 14, it says that those that make peace are, they control their temper. Verse 15 and 16, those that make peace know their provider. And verse 17, those that make peace possess wisdom from above. And lastly, in verse 18, those that make peace know their purpose. And so we'll start with that first one. Those that make peace are meek in wisdom. Verse 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Who's this wise person among you? He says, if there's somebody among you that's wise and he's endued with knowledge, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. That's a positive attribute. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. In other words, he is not to be a show-off. He is to control. There's to be a regulator on his pride, because the fact of the matter is that those who have wisdom are going to be think that they are something better. And so he's not to be a show-off. That means he's not to be a show-off. He that's a wise man endued with knowledge among you, then here's what he needs to do. Show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Don't be flashing your wisdom. In other words, don't be showing off at every opportunity to tell everybody how smart you are and how wise you are, even how spiritual you are. Not a show-off. He's not holier than thou. He is not. Does not take the attitude. Meekness implies that there is not there's not pride, a holy pride in the person. And also with meekness of wisdom, as we think about being a peacemaker, it implies also not a controller, not someone who's just trying to control other people, because wisdom causes people to want to think that they should be in control of others. It's easy for the scripture talk about those that are in the ministry need to be careful that they don't lord it over God's heritage. And lording it over God's heritage is just that, is taking this position of being a controller. And then they ought to be sympathetic. When we think about meekness, it implies a lowliness. It implies a sympathy and being sympathetic to other people. Sympathetic to other people's teaching, sympathetic to other people's understanding and their place and their growth in the Christian life and such. And so he's saying there needs to be meekness in this wisdom. And then also, finally, it involves long-suffering and patience. I mean, this meekness of wisdom that he's referring to, hey, we've got great wisdom, yet be meek with it and be careful with it and be cautious with it and be long-suffering and be patient with it, because it takes time. It is not something that is going to, it takes the Lord to work. And so we need to be meek and be kind with that wisdom. So one of the things about being a peacemaker is having a meekness in wisdom. And the wisdom that we possess and the things that we know spiritually growing children of God, that we know and that we're grown to a certain understanding of the truth, then we need to show forth meekness about that, as he's saying, in order to be a peacemaker. I mean, there's nothing worse than people that want to just battle over aspects of their wisdom and want to do battle and want to say, well, I'm more spiritual than you are, and want to have a discussion, a fight over that. And it's not pleasing to the Lord, and it's not to be a peacemaker. The Lord says, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Those that are the peacemakers are really there. They have the benefit and the blessing of others calling them the children of God, because they look like the children of God. They act like the children of God because they're peacemakers as it pertains to this wisdom. So they're meek in wisdom. Secondly, verse 14, read it. It says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And you're going to see this bitter envying and strife being repeated again. Verse number 16 says, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. So he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Verse 14. Well, what is this? Well, envying and strife has to do with your temper. It has to do with how you control your temper and how you control it from becoming something where you get inflamed as far as strife and angry. And he is saying here that envying causes that. Sometimes envying others and envying something somebody has, they... But he basically is saying here that those that make peace are people who control their temper, who are able to control their temper. There's nothing that causes division more than, and it causes people not to want to listen to us, than to be just out of control and to lose our temper. Losing our temper loses whatever argument that we were trying to make, at least for the time being. It's not going to be effective. So we need to be careful. The truth is resistant to bitterness. He says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. The truth is resistant to bitterness. In other words, it just doesn't go well. It doesn't. The truth is not communicated, and it is not taught to someone through bitterness. And so bitterness is something that needs to be taken care of, taken out of the picture. Envying, or need for being seen as better. Envying, to a large extent, is this need to be better than somebody else. Need to be, if somebody else comes in, other people think maybe they're better than us, and we want to get in there and show them that we're not anything subservient to them. No envying or need for being seen as better. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And so those that make peace control their temper. They're kind-hearted. If bitter, not bitter, but kind. Kind-hearted. No strife or arguments. They're not in it to win a battle or win an argument. They control their temper. And so peacemakers, they're meek in wisdom. They control their temper in verse number 14. And then the third thing about peacemakers in verses 15 and 16 is that they know their provider. In other words, they're not self-sufficient, and they can't be filled with pride and vainglory, because they know that anything that they might possess, the Lord has provided to them. And that the same Lord that provides to them is the Lord over other of God's children too. And that he can provide as easily for others as he has for us. In verse 15 and 16, the scripture says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There needs to be a guard up against the world. He says, this flesh descendeth not from above, but is earthly. He says, there's a sense of, if we're not peacemakers, if we lack the characteristics of peacemakers, then we're going to be more earthly. In other words, we're not getting our provision from God. We're getting it from the world. In other words, if we become debaters, or we become great apologists, and we argue our point better than anybody else argues their point, well, that isn't necessarily what is going to be beneficial to the truth. And he says this kind of wisdom descends, it doesn't come from above, it's earthly. And then he says also we need to be careful about the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Earthly, sensual, that's the flesh. That is the flesh taking over. That is just doing what we feel, doing what we think is the right, saying what we think at the moment is the right, being impulsive, being reactionary, being just, because somebody just said something to us, we're going to bite them back and get back at them, well, like a dog. This wisdom descends not from above, is earthly, sensual, devilish. He says it is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, earthly, sensual, the flesh, and devilish. He says, hey, it doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. The devil is always able to provide for us in times when we're willing to just yield to him. At times whenever we're in a situation where that it could be a place, an opportunity for us to make peace, and we decide that we're not going to use it as an opportunity to make peace. We're going to use it as an opportunity to make division. Well, the devil is always ready to help us do that. He's always ready to give us just the right words to cause problems and to cause us to regret what we said. And then we're thinking about that, about knowing their provider. Confusion and evil work is the result. He says, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And so confusion results from not teaching and instruction, but confusion. You know, the truth is one thing, and the opposite of the truth, sometimes we think the opposite of the truth is lies. Well, the opposite of the truth is not always lies. Lies is one of the ways of confusing the truth, but the opposite of the truth is really confusion. It's darkness and confusion. And he is saying here where the envy and strife is, and where we're not acting as peacemakers, then we find that the result is that there's this confusion and strife, and it results in confusion and evil works, confusion, and so that's just the opposite of what we might want to have happen, but it's what happens whenever we negate the truth that we hold by our envying and strife and by our lack of peacemaking. Then we end up with a situation where we're causing people to be more confused than to be sound and of the truth. And then it's basically when we say they know who their provider is, they're looking to God at every encounter. This wisdom descendeth not from above. Well, you know what? We need to be those, the Lord's people need to be those who are looking above for our provision and for our wisdom. We need to be looking to Him. If we're going to have an encounter and talk with somebody that could have a significant negative effect, then we certainly need to be very cautious, and we need to be looking to God for the words, looking to God for help and for strength to be able to speak, and to have the opportunity even to speak and to talk about what the issue, whatever the issue might be that could have significant negative ramifications, could have significant negative results. So they know their provider. They are meek in wisdom. So who are the peacemakers? There are those who are meek in wisdom, those who control their temper, those who know their provider. So they're looking to God, not just relying on the flesh, the world, or the devil. And then they possess wisdom. They truly possess wisdom from above. Now they get it from the Lord, and they have to go to Him as the resource for it. But the peacemakers really do possess wisdom from above. The Bible says, verse number 17, says, but the wisdom that is from above. So there's that wisdom that not that ascendeth from the world, the flesh, and the devil, but that descends from above. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Here's a list of things about peacemakers. They possess this wisdom that is from above. First of all, it's pure, sincere. In other words, you're not trying to trick somebody, and you're not trying to use some methods that are not really addressing the truthfulness and the real issue at hand, and you're not just trying to gain somebody on your side, get somebody on your side. You really want the truth to be told. You want and whatever the truth is, then let the truth do what it does, and just allow it to sit. So pure wisdom, he says the wisdom is from above. It's first pure. It's sincere. And then it's peaceable. It's the secondly. Then peaceable. Peaceable wisdom. It's not designed to cause conflict. Wisdom that's from above is peaceable. The truth that God gives is never designed to hurt anybody. It's never designed to cause conflict. People should believe it. And you know, We shouldn't take it to people or to address another believers as though we've got something that's going to make you mad, and we know it will.
You know, we hold this particular doctrine, and we know that this is a divisive doctrine, and so we're gonna slam you with it anyway. Well, it isn't supposed to be divisive. I mean, it's other doctrines that are divisive. It's that which is contrary to the truth that is truly divisive. But he says the truth, the wisdom from above, is peaceable. It's peaceable. God's people will be benefited with the wisdom that is from above. And so it's not designed to cause conflict. It is gentle. He says the next word is gentle. Gentle wisdom, not hard, not cutting. Easy to be entreated. Again, this is the attitude and the characteristics of those that make peace. They're easy to be entreated. It's wisdom that we take that's easy to be entreated. Questions, challenges, that's fine. Ask them. You know, ask the questions. Ask the challenge it. Any way that allow people to challenge it. Allow people to do what they want to as it pertains to of holding this wisdom. And so he's saying that wisdom that's above is just gentle. It's easy to be entreated. People can come and can challenge it, and that's okay. It's full of mercy. It's a wisdom that's full of mercy, he says here. Full of mercy. Remember God's mercy for us, and so that we can be merciful to others, and with the wisdom and with what we possess, as we hold to the wisdom, as we hold to the understanding and the righteousness, it ought to be sown in peace. Full of good fruits type of wisdom. It is Holy Spirit provisioned. It's got all the fruit of the Spirit, and then it's without partiality. It has a respect for people. Without partiality is without the disrespect that might be given to somebody else for some stupid reason. So he says, without partiality, respecting everybody, respecting people, the wisdom that's from above should be universally received, and it's the Lord's will that we would be, as he's saying, peacemakers. Without hypocrisy, finally. Without hypocrisy. It's a practice what you preach kind of a wisdom. It is wisdom that is to be received of ourselves first. It is to be accepted of ourselves before we can in any way present it to others. So, characteristics of them that make peace. First of all, they're meek in wisdom. They control their temper. They know their provider. They possess wisdom from above, which is described here in that verse, in that 17th verse. And then finally, they know their purpose. Those that are peacemakers know their purpose. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What do we mean by they know their purpose? Well, righteousness is the fruit here. Righteousness is the only fruit. The fruit that we want is righteousness. Some people think that the fruit that you want is the proper understanding of something. Well, in a way, that obviously lends itself to righteousness. But what we want, what the end result is a walk, right? It's not just speaking the truth and speaking the word. It's being not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And if we're doers of it, then there's where righteousness is. Righteousness becomes the ultimate fruit for the child of God, and the ultimate fruit for peacemakers is righteousness. It isn't that we see things always, that we see things exactly the same way as another believer. We might have different reasons for believing that we need to be walking this particular way that's pleasing to God, and still both of us are convinced that it's the right thing for us to do, and we may have different reasons why we do it. But the ultimate goal is righteousness. The ultimate goal is a walk that's pleasing to the Lord, and not necessarily in every case that we everybody agrees 100% with us. They know their purpose. Righteousness is the fruit. So the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Sowing righteousness is the objective here. It's the only objective for the peacemaker. He wants to sow righteousness. He wants that righteousness as the result. He wants that to be the result. And so sowing righteousness is what he's doing. When he speaks about the truth, and he's even when he's correcting someone, or when he's trying to be a, or he or she is trying to be a good influence on somebody else, and or trying to just communicate truth to someone else, the ultimate goal is righteousness, and the ultimate objective that we have is to sow righteousness, is that righteousness be the that we're trying to achieve, whether it's ours or the, or that of another. And then finally, peace is the method, and it's the only method. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. He doesn't say it's sown in any other way, but the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so he's saying that there is a right way to sow righteousness, and it is peace. Peace is the method. And so that we would have the humility, the breaking of our pride, the breaking of vainglory, the breaking of this of a competitive and a combative type of an attitude, but that we would have a gentleness about us, that we would have this meekness of wisdom, this controlled temper, the knowing our provider, not just relying on the flesh and the world and the devil, possessing the wisdom from above, praying for God to bring give us the wisdom, and then know our purpose, that our purpose is that righteousness is the fruit. We want to sow it, but we sow it in only one way, and that's in peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in them in peace of them that make peace. How many times have we had a big argument and discussion about something that we were wanting to get across to somebody else, and we just made a mess of things because we were just so out of touch with what it is to be a peacemaker. And the Word of God tells us here that there's a blessing here, and there's some characteristics for being a peacemaker, and we could all take note on, and I'm sure, I know for sure that I have plenty of growth to do in that area. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and it's a blessing to be here.